1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, everybody said he is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That word conversation there doesn't mean talking to someone. That's an English word in the King James that means lifestyle. That's your lifestyle. We communicate not so much with verbal word between people, but we send a message by the life that we live. And it's not so much a message of we're sending a message to one another about ourselves, because then it just becomes a mutual admiration society, amen, where we come and pat each other on the back and tell each other how great we are. No, but it is, we are convincing God. We are telling God. We are showing God by our life that we love Him and we want to be like Him. Be ye holy. I want to talk about the essence of holiness tonight. Amen. Let's pray together and let's ask for God's help. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for truth tonight. We ask you to anoint the Word of God. We ask you to speak to us and help us. We give you thanks. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Amen. It's good to be here, isn't it? Good to be here tonight. Brother Reed, I need to see you after church for just a moment because we got something coming up, and I need to see you about that. When we talk about holiness tonight, the Word of God is full of references to holiness or being holy. And many of the references in the Word of God about holiness is about God. It is not about us, but it is about God. And it establishes in the Word of God that this is what God is. Amen. God is holy. That is His nature. It isn't what God does, and it's not what God looks like. It's what He is. Amen. It is His nature. And that's why it says in the Scripture, I thought about this when I first read it a long, long time ago, when it says that God cannot be tempted with evil, and neither can He tempt anyone with evil. Amen. And I thought about that, and I thought, why is that? And it is simply because of the nature of holiness. God is holy, and so therefore He cannot be tempted. God is not tempted. God is never tempted. There is nothing that can tempt God. And so therefore, because God cannot be tempted, God does not resort to temptation and to bring temptation. We know that there is one in the Scripture that is called the tempter, and that is Satan. Amen. Because he is the opposite of holiness, and he is the embodiment of wickedness and evil. Amen. And so he is tempted, and he gave in to his temptation, and now it is his self-appointed job, I suppose, to tempt the world and to destroy the world. When we talk about God's holiness, we can understand then that God is holy within himself. Amen. God does not need an outside stimulus or force to make him holy. And neither can God's holiness diminish at all, for it is what He is. Amen. And since God is holy within Himself, what God touches becomes holy. And when He touches dirty things or unclean things, they become holy. That's why when Moses drew near unto the burning bush, the Bible says that he was to take off his shoes, for the ground on which you are standing is holy ground. Amen. And the ground did not become holy by itself. It became holy because God touched it. Amen. If you and I touch dirty ground, or any ground for that matter, we become dirty and the ground remains dirty. But when God touches ground, it becomes holy ground, and God does not get dirty at all by touching the ground. Amen. It's because within himself is holiness, and that's who he is, and that's what he is. Amen. God is holy, but we are not holy. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We are unholy, and we have unholy thoughts, and we do unholy things, and we look at unholy things, and we have unholy desires and passions. And for you and I, the only thing that we can do to become holy is by having an outside influence or stimulus, if you please, to make us holy or to lead us in the direction of holiness. Because the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Well, praise the Lord. When I first came to the Lord, I thought everybody in the church was holy and they had angels' wings under their shirts, and they left their halos at home, and but they wore halos all week long. I come to understand that when you've got people, you've got unholy things. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And that's who we are, because we were made subject to vanity, the Bible says. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, it says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind hath taken us away." Amen. You probably have experienced that in your life if you've lived any length of time. But we are all as an unclean thing. Is the Lord trying to make us pessimistic about life here and to give us no hope and no future? No, that's not what he's doing. He's just trying to get us in the right frame of mind to understand that all of us are unholy, amen, and that we need him to become holy. Somebody said amen. Amen. And so the very best that any of us can do is not good enough to make us holy, but it does not disqualify us from the opportunity of salvation and the opportunity to become holy like him, amen. For he said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And if he said that, then it is possible to get to that place. And so it's something that we're reaching for. It isn't what we do, and it's not where we go that makes us holy. You're not going to become holy by attending church services, and that's your whole experience. Amen. You're not going to become holy by just following the biblical dress code that it talks about, but holiness comes from the nature of God. And I'm not discounting coming to church. You know that I believe in being faithful to the house of God. I believe that there is a modesty of dress that the Bible talks about. Where does it come from? That's the most important thing. Jesus said, don't worry about cleaning up the outside of the cup, but clean up the inside of the cup first, so that the outside may be clean also. And so there is of necessity that we work on the inside, or better yet, that we allow God to work on the inside of us. And when God works on the inside of us, then the outside will take care of itself. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And I'm not going to be able to go through a series of Bible lessons or a series of services to become holy. And the only way is to make contact with that which is holy. Amen. Now, I've never seen an angel, but I'm sure if I saw an angel And it was like it was recorded in the scripture where he took a coal off of the fire and he put it onto his tongue. I'm sure that would probably do something to change the way I think about living for God. Well, praise the Lord. I'm sure if an angel came and stood in my home and began to tell me things and all of that, I probably would fall down as dead, just like they did in the scriptures. Amen. I don't know what that kind of an experience would be like, but I know that it would alter me, that it would change me. But there is a greater ministry than the ministry of angels. Amen. The angels were not given power to change mankind. They were given power to minister to the heirs of salvation. Amen. They were given authority. Michael and Gabriel and all of the angels, the host of heaven, they were given authority to bring messages at certain periods of time, but they were not given the authority to change a life. Amen. I remember as a brand new convert, I would go to the church and I would pray. I would pray many hours at a time. And I remember late at night, I began to ask the Lord, "Lord, just let me see an angel. Would you send an angel? I want to see an angel." And it just never did happen. Amen. So I concluded that my prayer was not the right prayer. Amen. Because I was looking for something that was right under my nose, and that was the Holy Ghost that God had given to me. Praise God. I don't need to be touched by an angel, but I do need to be touched by God. Well, somebody help me here tonight. Amen. Because this is really what the essence of holiness is. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 14. Brother Reed, would you get that for me? Proverbs 4 and verse 14. It's going to take a little bit of reading here, and that's why I use somebody named Reed. Amen. Proverbs 4 and 14, and go down through verse 27. All right. So right in the middle of all of this, there's some very, very exciting things. And I believe that it gives us a little bit more understanding about what we're talking about here tonight. Because in our pursuit of holiness, or our pursuit of God, which is holiness, we've got to see that there are some things that we must stay away from and some things that we embrace. Amen. And it says here that the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. It simply means that we will arrive when we are taken away from this world. Amen. Like the Apostle Paul said, "I have not arrived and I have not attained, but I strive daily." Amen. Everybody said daily. I strive daily to become more and more like Him and to know Him more and more. That right there is the essence of holiness. It simply means that each and every day we reach out to God and we ask Him to help us to be more like Him. And so because we are attaining and reaching and like the shining light that gets brighter and brighter as we go closer and closer to God, amen, it does not become the foundation for excuses. "Well, I'm reaching." Well, how long have you been reaching? "Well, about 45 years. You know, there comes a time that we need to attain some things in our lives. Amen. And the Bible gives that to us. But I need an understanding that that as I get closer and closer to God, which is through prayer, everybody said prayer, prayer, preaching, commitment, all of the things that are found in the Word of God and in our experience, then God will, if we get close enough to God, then God will begin to write some things on the tables of our heart. So that's found in Jeremiah 31:33. And he said, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and will write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Amen. And it says that I will forgive their iniquity, verse 34, and I will remember their sin no more. And so he's going to write holiness on the tables of our heart. Not like in the Old Testament where he wrote the laws of God on tables of stone, but in the New Testament or the New Covenant, God is going to write the laws upon the tables of our heart. Amen. And the scripture that Brother Reed gave to us here tonight, it talks about the heart. And it says, "Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto them that find it." And then it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Amen. And I'm going to talk about that here in just a moment. But the New Testament literally stands upon this truth, that no longer are the laws on tables of stone, but they are now written by the finger of God and on the tables of our heart. And this is how we must pursue holiness. Amen. It is essential for your spiritual growth. I was looking at a little clip. Apostolic preacher was talking about leadership and leadership styles. And one of the leadership styles that he was talking about was a leadership style called command and control. Amen. And where you command and you control, and you may get some things accomplished, and but it is more like a military term. Amen. Command and control. You hear about that where they have their command and control center, and what it does is it limits the people that are under the leadership of command and control to flourish and to become what God wants them to become. It is a leadership style that just says these are the parameters. You can't go outside of these parameters at all. And so it stifles creativity. It stifles personal growth. Amen. God help us that we don't have a command and control style of leadership. Leadership is very important. Amen. But Jesus was not a command and control kind of person. He said, "I am the good shepherd." Amen. He was a shepherd leader. Amen. And he led by example, and he loved his sheep, and he was willing to lay down his life for his sheep. Praise God. I'm glad I've got that kind of a leader tonight. Because Satan has got the command and control down pretty well. He knows how to bring people into captivity and to make them do what he wants them to do. But when we come to holiness, amen, we cannot approach holiness by demands. Amen. We cannot approach holiness by intimidation tactics or whatever you want to call it. We have got to get holiness because we have touched a holy God. Amen. It has to be that way. That is the new covenant. The laws are still the laws, and we will give an account according to the laws. But I don't want to serve God because they're written on a table of stone. I want to serve God because they are written on the tables of my heart. In the Old Testament, you had to do it or you would be killed. Amen. In the New Testament, we must obey the laws of God or we will not be saved. Amen. The laws of God still apply in the New Testament. Not the ceremonial laws, of course, but the moral laws of God still apply. Amen. And I could go into them tonight. It's not the intention of this message. But I want to obey the laws of God out of love. Amen. The law of love. Praise God. Because The law, the cold, hard-hearted civil laws that we have in our generation and in our country, and frankly in every country that is halfway civilized, they have laws. And if you go 5 miles and over, 5 miles an hour over the speed limit, and there's a highway patrol somewhere, he's probably going to pull you over and give you a ticket. Amen. And so we don't speed, right? That kind of went dead right there. You know where they're sitting and where they're not sitting. And when they're not sitting there, you give it the gas and make some time to get home. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Don't look at me like you're so holy tonight. I know what you're doing because I do the same thing. Now, I don't go too fast, but keep it within the parameters, right? And so the law doesn't do anything. The civil law doesn't do anything to change you. You don't have it in your heart to do the speed limit all the time. There's nothing inside of you that makes you feel condemned or makes you feel awful about those civil laws. I turned a corner one time, and someone was sitting with me in the car, and I didn't turn on my blinker. And they said, oh, there's a ticket right there. And I thought, well, yeah, but there isn't any police around, so I don't get a ticket. Ha ha. Amen. But then the little ones, I don't remember exactly which one it was. Maybe it was my grandson. And I ran through a yellow light. Actually, it was orange. Amen. I was in the intersection. It was going from yellow to red. And I went through, and my grandson said, you're not supposed to run red lights. And I kind of shrank down in the seat a little bit. He said, the red light means stop. The yellow light means to be cautious. And the green light means to go. And he gave me a little lesson on what was the proper thing to do. And I said, yes, sir. And I made sure that from that point on, Grandpa didn't go through any orange lights. Amen. But the civil law does not put anything in our heart, does it? But now if you love something, it's going to be in your heart. If you love your husband, he's going to be in your heart. If you love your wife, she's going to be in your heart. If you love your children, they're going to be in your heart. Always. Amen. And there is something about love that supersedes the law. And in fact, if I could say it this way, and I've said it before, that the law of love actually does not particularly care for somebody telling them you've got to obey the law. Amen. And in fact, the law of love goes beyond the written law, and it goes beyond that and passed into things of love. Amen. And so if you get married and you have your marriage contract, and the marriage contract doesn't say you've got to do the dirty laundry, amen, you could technically say, I'm doing the right thing, but I'm sure not doing your dirty laundry. But you know what love does? Love says, hey, I'll do that for you. Praise God. Love goes beyond any laws. Amen. And it says, I want to do the best that I can to please you, to help you, to encourage you, to strengthen you, to protect you. Isn't that the way it is? Now, some of you are looking at me like, well, praise God. Like Brother Johnson says, a cow in front of a new gate. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you love the Lord tonight? Amen. Is there anybody in this life that you really love? Amen. All right. Well, praise God. Got a little bit to work on here tonight. Amen. Brother Reed, did it say in your marriage contract that you have to go to work every day when you've got a headache and you feel bad? It's not in there. But no, he loves those three little guys. He loves his family. Does it say anything in there, Brother Greg, that because it's such a long drive, you're just going to stay at home and just let things work out for themselves? No. because he loves his boys. He loves his daughter. He loves his family. Amen. And love says, I've got to go beyond what's required. Amen. And I'm going to do a little bit extra. Praise God. And that's what holiness is all about. Amen. And it says, keep thy heart with all diligence. That word keep there in the original means to guard. And the word diligence actually means the guard at the gate. Amen. And so when we keep our heart with all diligence, because the heart, out of the heart are the issues of life. Out of the heart comes holiness. Amen. That's where God wants to write the laws on the table of our heart. Praise God. And so we must keep our heart with all diligence. And here comes the essence of holiness here tonight. And what gates are you talking about? What gate of the heart are we talking about? Well, the eyes are the gateway to your heart. Praise God. The ears are the gateway to your heart. And the mouth is not necessarily a gateway to receive, but I'll look at that one just briefly here tonight. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Amen. This gate to the heart, the eyes, amen, will allow good or evil into your heart. Amen. And to have a single eye means that we put some things away and we hold to other things. Praise God. And if you have a friend, you want to keep your friend. Amen. You don't want to throw your friend away for a day and get another friend and then throw that one away and go back to the other one and back and forth. After a while, you're not going to have any friends. Amen. But if you are a real friend to the Lord, you're going to put some things away that your friend really doesn't care about. Amen. Not because you have to, but because you want to. Not because you can't do it, but because you have an opportunity now to have the friend of friends in your life. Praise God. I don't have to have someone to tell me that a television is bad. All I have to do is look at the contents of it. Amen. And I can see that they are not wholesome, that they are not good. Amen. I want to talk about that here in just a minute. But I've got to have a single eye. Amen. I certainly don't want to sit down and watch Hollywood in all of their adulteries and fornications and LBGTKLMOPQRST. Amen. And whatever else they come up with. Praise God. Transgender, homo, whatever, and now they've got one, no gender. I forget what they call it. No, non-gender. I'm a non-gender. That means I'm an alien from another planet. Praise God. And my blood is purple and green. Amen. And, oh, dear Lord, help us. We're in a bad, bad situation here in our world today. No wonder our capital city there, Washington, D.C., is so very, very corrupt. If we only knew how corrupt it was, we probably wouldn't be able to sleep at night. Amen. Because evil has come into our nation, and it is spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. And much of what we see in our world today is considered normal, but it isn't normal in relationship to God. Amen. God made Adam and then he made Eve. And they became husband and wife. Praise the Lord. That was God's plan. It's still God's plan. And it will always be God's plan until we get to heaven. Amen. And then there will be no more male nor female. Amen. But we will be as the angels of God, as the scripture says. And so I've got to check where I go. And I want to check what I listen to on the web and limit myself to a few places. And I'm going to be honest with you. I have looked at a few of the news clips, but you've got to be very careful, because eventually it'll go to this, that, and the other. And I have in recent weeks have looked at my own personal involvement in this, that, and the other. And I'm limiting myself to just a few sites. And I don't want to just go anywhere and do anything. Amen. Because I've got a guard at the gate. Amen. The guard at the gate, the guard that guarded the king's palace, he just wouldn't let anybody in. Amen. Because it could be a danger to the king. Amen. And in living for God, we've got to understand that there is a gate to our heart. And we must put a guard at the gate. Amen. To guard it in every area of our life. This applies to the young people tonight. It applies to the adults tonight. It applies to each and every one of us here tonight. But it's not because if Pastor finds out, I'm going to be in trouble. No, that's not what it's all about. It's all about falling in love with God and saying, God, you're not pleased with this. This is of the world. And if I'm a friend to this, I'm your enemy. I don't want to be the enemy of God. I don't know how you feel about it tonight, but I got a feeling we all want to be a friend of God, and we want God to be our friend. Amen. And so we cannot go into these areas or allow these areas through our eyes. Amen. Young person, it's very important what you look at. Well, praise the Lord. And I know it's all around us and you cannot escape it. That's why we need to pray on a regular basis and get our heart cleaned out. Amen. And understand what God's will is for our lives. Praise the Lord. And so the only, this can only come, this holiness, this attitude of holiness can only come when we fall in love with the Lord and He writes it on our hearts. Mark 7 and verse 20. And He said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Well, how did they get in there? Amen. If they came out from there, how did they get in there? Amen. They got in there by the gate. Praise God. They got in there by the gate. John chapter 5 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth. Everybody said heareth. Anybody that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Praise God. And so the ears become a gate, and we need to guard our ears. It does make a difference what kind of music you listen to. Well, praise God. All my exes live in Texas. That's why I hang my hat in Tennessee. Oh, that's inspirational, isn't it? I was driving down the road and flipping channels, and all of a sudden that song come up, that whiny country song. And that's not where I live. Amen. I don't want to let that into my gate. I don't want that into the courtroom of my mind. Well, praise God. That's all I know about the song, all right? I didn't listen to the whole thing. I just went on the channel. But it's interesting when you're driving at night and you're flipping through the channels, the things you can pick up real quickly. Amen. And you'll be flipping through the channels and all of a sudden they'll be talking about UFOs and aliens. Amen. And you could listen to that for a while and you say, I wonder if aliens are really real. We had a lady, she was the secretary of the church in New Bedford, Massachusetts. And she woke her husband up in the middle of the night, and she said, there's a UFO in the backyard. And And there were lights that were flashing. You know, they were going in all different directions. And what they realized was it was one of those promotional lights that shine up in the sky, you know, like at a car dealership or something like that. And she thought it was an alien from another planet that was landing in their backyard. Yeah, she was the secretary. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. Praise God. Flip the channel and you can hear that. I had a little Filipino boy helping me when we were tearing the roof off of the church to redo everything and tearing the bell tower off. And he told me, he said, this year the sun's going to go out. And I said, really? It's been a long time ago, many years ago. And I said, where did you hear that? I heard it on the radio. I said, really? What station are you talking about? And it was some station after midnight. Nobody else is going to listen to it. Everybody's asleep in bed, and they come up with all these crazy ideas. Amen. I'm just not going to let that into my ears. I might for a little bit of comedy, amen, or something along that lines. But it is very important that we guard the gate of our heart. Amen. And so when we get close to God, that's why Pastor's talking about prayer. Amen. When we get close to God and we get far away from the world as possible, we're going to be finding ourselves influenced by God and by His holiness and His word and His righteousness. Amen. And then and only then can we become holy in His eyes, and we will not be covered by the fig leaves of our own self-righteousness, but we will be covered by His covering. Amen. The shedding of blood that covers the heart. Amen. That covers the spirit of man. Do you love the Lord tonight? Amen. You say, well, is it really important that I draw close to God? Let me read a final scripture here. Hebrews 12 and 14. And we'll get into more specifics later. But I wanted to give us the essence of what we're doing and why it's important to draw near to God. Hebrews 12 and 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Amen. It's one thing to cry to get what you want. Amen. I saw a little boy this morning, and he wanted something. I don't know what it was. And his mama was on the phone, and she wasn't paying attention to him. And he was standing there just trying to stomp on her foot. He's just a little bitty guy. There was no way he could hurt her. And he wanted what he wanted right now. And he was getting ready to build up to a real good cry. But you know, crying doesn't always mean repentance. Crying does not always mean a broken heart. Amen. Esau sought the blessings of God with tears, but he was rejected because it was not seeking God out of a heart of love. I want what I want, and if I can't get it, I'm going to throw a tantrum and I'm going to cry. But folks, we've got to fall in love with Jesus Christ. Do you believe that tonight? Can we stand together right now? We've got to get these truths deep in our hearts and protect your heart. Young person, protect your heart. Protect your heart. Watch what goes into your eyes and your ears. Watch what you say. Amen. Because, listen to me tonight, it's not your circumstances that are going to make the difference. It's your heart that's going to make the difference. And the Bible says that in the last days, the hearts of many shall wax cold. I don't want my heart to wax cold. I don't want to ever get to the place where I say, I'm not loving anymore. Because if I stop loving, people, listen to this tonight. If I stop loving other people, then I stop loving God. Because the Bible says, how can we not love our brother and say we love God? Our relationships are horizontal and vertical. Amen. Just like the cross. Horizontal, others. Vertical, God. Amen. And if we will love one another, and we will love other people and pray for other people and keep a tender heart in the will of God, I'm telling you tonight, you'll understand and you'll develop holiness, and not too many times you'll have to have preaching on specifics. Well, praise God. With a right heart, a man only has to hear a message on holiness probably once or twice in his life. Now, maybe others would disagree with that, but I'm telling you, when you get it down inside of your heart and you love God, how can you ever say, I don't love Him anymore, I'm not doing that anymore? But folks walk away from holiness because, first of all, they don't understand it, and second of all, it's not in their heart. Praise God. Father, we thank You for the word of the Lord tonight. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to be like You. Make us more and more like You from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Touch us with the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost make us holy in our attitude, in our hearts, in our mind, in our spirit, and write the laws upon the tables of our heart that thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not, thou shalt. And help us to fall in love with the laws of God. And yes, even to go beyond just the written law, that which is required, and go beyond and do more than just what's required. Help us today. Touch us today. In Jesus' name.